Lowe's knows what makes SpringFest savings even better are member-only doorbuster deals. Right now, rewards members can save $40 on an Allen & Roth Chesler Gold Faucet. Was $99, now $59. Plus, save $110 on a Kobalt 40-volt battery trimmer and blower combo kit. Was $279, now $169. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/24, while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number? Oh.
Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
Go Loud.
This episode contains references to addiction and suicidal ideation, which some listeners may find distressing, so please take care while listening.
If you're struggling with addiction, call the HSE's confidential helpline on 1800 459 459 or email them at helpline@hse.ie.
My mind at the time had completely snapped and I went into an alternate reality. Mm-hmm. And the reality that I was living in was that there was a hitman coming to kill me.
Would you have at the time knew you were addicted, or did you still think I'm just having
a problem? I never thought I had a problem. Doesn't matter how bad I'm feeling or what happens to me, even if I had a broken leg tomorrow, you can guarantee you'd see me in a wheelchair down that 5K.
Yeah, I promise you. Welcome to Home My Drink with Charlene and Ellie. Our podcast is a group chat between your best friends, the girls' bathroom, and a night out where you spill all the gossip on relationships, dilemmas, and life. If you're a return listener, welcome back. If you're a new listener, welcome. Home My Drink is out every Wednesday at 12. We also have bonus episodes every Monday at 12, so you can listen to more of us now on the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch our podcast too. So our weekly podcast episodes are uploaded to YouTube every Thursday at 12. And this week we are joined by Chris Connolly, who you might know as Get Better With Chris.
I never knew what your second name was. I was only thinking that today.
I only knew it today as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to the bank a few minutes ago and the girl was like, Chris Connolly? You get better. Yeah, with Chris.
Oh my God, she knew it straight away.
Changed her surname to that.
So Chris uses running to help him cope and overcome his struggles with addiction. And it's a really powerful story, and we hope that you all take something from it. So we're really excited to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're like the it boy.
The it boy.
Honestly, no,
you're everywhere. You are. Honestly, you're
so many places. At all times.
He's running to every destination.
Yeah, literally. You can't drive. That's one of the...
Can you not?
Can't drive. No.
Well, at least you can run.
Yeah.
Did you ever try to drive or anything?
I had my theory test booked for a couple of weeks ago and I just didn't show up for it. I'm not really good at that sort of stuff, you know?
Are you not?
Well, Dano's failed his 6 times. So
that's fine. Yeah. It's not that bad.
It's not, yeah. It's hard. Some of the questions are really trick questions.
If I had to redo it now, I'd fail it.
You think so?
100%. It's only that you memorize the answers. Like, I don't actually know the answers. They're asking about cows over hedges and all.
That's where I just lose it, you know.
No, things that don't really happen.
Yeah, and things you have to study for. Like, my mom was teaching my brother the theory test at the time. And it was like, what do you do when you go into a tunnel? What should you do? And the option was like, check your petrol level.
I've seen these. Put
your sunglasses on. Or like, if you drive. My brother was like, check the petrol. You need to make sure you have enough petrol. And my mom was like, no. It was like, get out of your car and check your tank or something.
He was like, obviously
that one. She was like, what the fuck?
Sure, didn't they have you on the driving test? They open the bonnet and you tell where everything is.
That's a full license. I'm not even past the dirty test.
Not there, yeah.
I haven't even ever opened my bonnet since. I don't know how my water keeps getting filled up automatically. I haven't filled my water tank ever.
Probably Dano going out and doing it for you.
No, it's not him. He was no embarrassed from his elbow either. No. It must just still be there from 2 years ago.
Definitely isn't.
The water's evaporating or not.
I don't know.
So, Chris, for people who don't know you, can you describe your content or tell us what you do?
So I'm in recovery, maybe coming up to 4 years, thankfully. Sobriety and running was something that helped to not only change my life, but to be able to create a new life for myself. I always struggled with drink, drugs, alcohol, and also seeking external validation through women, through gambling, or through something other than myself, you know. And from an early age, I was always confused. I always felt lost. I always felt unguided. And that's what led me down the road of drink and drugs and getting up to no good.
Like, do you remember how young you were when that all started?
It wouldn't be a turning factor, you know. Yeah. Like, when I was in school, I used to get bullied a lot on my face. I used to have scars on my face. I have scars now, but I used to have, like, acne on my face and I'd be bullied a lot. And I'm not the tallest fella in the world, you know. So a lot of people... Yeah, shocking. Well, people used to give me a bit of a hard time. And
yeah.
I used to hate the world for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to look at everybody else as, like, a pillar in society that was giving me a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
When ultimately then I started to look for protection or look for friendship in groups that were getting up to no good or carrying out bad things on a day to day. And ultimately I just started doing what everybody else was doing, you know. Yeah.
And is that what made you feel then, like, included when you were doing something that was...
Yeah, like, I think a lot of young men fall into that trap where they don't know what they're doing, but they just start doing what everybody else is doing.
That seems like the cool thing to do.
Yeah. And that was me. Like, I just wanted to try and fit in. I wanted to be part of something rather than being on my own, rather than being targeted. And as I started to grow up through adolescence and I went from being in school, started to get a little bit older, then I started to get into the gym and realised that girls loved fellas who went to the gym and all the muscles and everything. So then I started taking steroids. And when I started taking anabolic steroids, my whole body changed instantly. In the next 2 to 4 weeks, I was a totally different person.
What?
Is that quick?
Very quick.
Is it?
Very, very quick.
And it's just injection? Like, you inject?
Yeah. So I was taking it intramuscular, so into my bum. Yeah. And I used to get really, like, I was so good as well at making something so crazy, so normal.
Really?
So, like, I was telling me mother and father, like, about it. And then at one stage, like, I'd asked them to do it for me as well. It was bizarre. But I was so manipulative. I was making them think, like, this was all normal.
Yeah.
When in reality, this was only the start of my addiction starting to come to the front, you know.
Yeah.
So I would go to nightclubs and I would go out with my friends and just start drinking and getting up to no good. And I would start to pursue women. And I didn't know why. But all I was trying to do was validate myself. Because in my mind, if a girl kissed me or if a girl liked me or gave me a number or anything along the lines of that, I felt like, okay, now I'm enough.
Oh,
and then when that is gone, then it's like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
But back then, I couldn't really understand what it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're so young. I
also thought I was just being one of the lads.
Yeah.
When in reality, I wasn't. I was really trying to fulfill myself in the only way that I knew possible.
Like, you feel like you're always chasing something else to kind of...
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
And still to this day, I struggle with that, you know? That behaviour never really leaves you. It gets less and less over time. And that's one thing about addiction, like, it's progressive. But if you're delving into it, it's a downward spiral. And I always talk about that. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. But on the flip side, if you look to address it, if you look to correct it, if you look to get sober and grow, well, then it's an upward spiral. It gets better and better and better.
Yeah.
Get better with Chris.
Get better with Chris. Yeah.
So from steroids then, obviously you felt amazing within the 2 to 4 weeks. Like, what was the next step then of when that wasn't enough anymore of, like, feeling this great? Like, what was the next step after that?
So I went from steroids then to going out drinking and partying. And then I was introduced to, my first drug I think I was introduced to was ecstasy. And as soon as I took that, I felt like it was no better drug that could ever be took, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and still to this day, without trying to glorify drug use, I'm just going to speak on my own personal experience. Yeah. One thing that I always struggled with was the fact that for all my life, people told me, drugs are very, very bad. Don't do drugs. And when I done drugs, I was like, hold on for a second. Drugs are fucking brilliant. Because they've took away all of that stuff that I was struggling with for so long in my childhood.
Yeah.
I had a false sense of confidence. I felt like high on life. I felt fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And then it sort of...
That's confusing to think, why are these so bad then?
Exactly.
Why are people lying? Like, you think they're lying to you?
When in reality, now I know that drugs make you feel so good, they're going to ruin your whole life.
Mm.
And that's the difference. So as soon as I started to find out about ecstasy and go down that route, mm-hmm. I just played around with that for a while. And I always felt like I was always trying to grab onto something, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it was a friend, a girlfriend, steroids, the gym. I was always trying to make sure that I was fulfilled in some mm-hmm. sense of self. Because ultimately, I always had a hole in my soul. I always felt lost when I was on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt afraid and always felt like I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah.
That went on for so long. And then when I think I went to maybe Spain, a fella had introduced me to cocaine. And then I was like, okay, yeah. Right, this is like ecstasy all over again. Back into the depths of it, you know, because as soon as you're starting to become involved with this world, it's like, what the fuck, where was this all my life?
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're always searching for something.
Mm-hmm.
That's how most people get addicted.
Yeah.
Because you're always chasing that first high, but you're never going to get it. And I just started to go out all the time with the lads, chasing girls. And then I'd go back to house parties. Then I got progressive. I'd go out with the lads, wouldn't care about girls, started to get a bag of coke. Then I'd stop going out with the lads, just get a bag of coke. Then I'd stop going out, just get a drink and a bag of coke. And that's how it works, you know what I mean? And with cocaine, like it's like a 50-50 for me anyway. Because if I took cocaine, I was on top of the world or I was underneath my bed paranoid.
Oh.
And that's something that a lot of people can start to experience, especially when taking cocaine. But for me, it got very, very bad, very, very quick.
Did it?
Where I got extremely, extremely paranoid every single time that I was using coke, but I could just not
would
stop
it be
using
during
it.
Or afterwards? Or like
Jordan.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It was so it's so crazy to even talk about because like I would be in the midst of using it.
Mm.
I'd have like a paranoid episode, be ringing me mom, me dad, me sister, me friends, asking our people, setting me up. And this went on for a long, long time.
Wow.
And then I'd come out of it. And then I'd go back onto coke again, you know. Then I'd go back using
like
again.
What did you think brought you back to it? If that was how you felt when you did it, that maybe if you did it, it wouldn't happen, or
it's just completely and utterly addicted. You know, the substance is gripping, and all addiction is cunning and it's baffling.
Mm.
We don't know why we do the things that we do, but we do them anyway, despite that. And that's what I kept doing.
And was everyone around you in your circle while you're dabbling in this, they're all dabbling with you, so it didn't feel like you're doing anything wrong
because
everyone's doing the same thing, so it's like one of the boys. Like,
it's almost acceptable, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But then I started to stand out because my mind got too bad too quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I always talk about like when things get progressively worse, they very quickly start to get worse and worse and worse and spiral out of control.
Yeah.
I had met a girl then in the midst of all this. She's an absolutely fantastic girl. Best girl I could have ever met. But it was at the worst time in my life.
Yeah.
They always had a great time together, got along so well together. But every single weekend, I would always go out. And a lot of girls can relate to this because it's a pattern with most men now.
You always hear it, yeah.
They go out and they don't come home.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it wasn't anything got to do with her. It was everything got to do with me. I was always going out because I was always trying to chase that next high. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I didn't realise it then. But ultimately, we had spent a fantastic time together and we had a child together. That's my daughter, Lucy.
She's so cute.
She's adorable.
She's like...
How old is she now?
She's 5 now.
Adorable.
But when we were having her, I couldn't connect with the fact that I was going to be a dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to take responsibility because I wasn't willing to give up my old life yet. I just wanted to, I loved madness.
Yeah.
That's just being totally honest with you.
Yeah.
I loved madness.
Yeah.
I loved chaos and I loved completely and utterly ruining my life,
mm-hmm.
you know. And when Lucy was born, I can remember I was over in the hospital and had been handed her and held her. Probably one of the best days of my life. Probably about 6 hours past, I went home and I used drugs again.
Did you?
And I went back up the next day and her mother had seen that I was still using drugs, you know.
Mm.
And it wasn't very long into the future where she had to call it a day, you know.
Mm.
And that's what happens. Like, she had to sacrifice
me
in order to save herself and the baby.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're in that, like, I was resentful towards her.
Mm.
I was like, who do you think you are?
You couldn't see it in the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Believe me when I'm, you know.
Yeah. And just throwing me toys out of the pram, you know, which most men do.
Oh, yeah.
But, but it's an unconscious behaviour. Mm-hmm. It's the behaviour that you think, like, who the fuck do you think you are? Or, like, what's going on? Nobody wants to help me. It's all me, 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 me. Mm-hmm. When in reality, like, you're putting them through absolute misery.
Yeah.
And I put her through misery. So ultimately, when she had broke up me, it confirmed an inner belief in me that I wasn't enough. And that's something that I always had in my life. I never felt enough. Mm. And that's why I always took steroids or drink drugs or search for external validation through women. Because I always had that hole in my soul. And ultimately, my core belief is I'm never going to be enough. And when she had left me, it furthered on that feeling.
Okay, yeah.
And the way drinking drugs mask it, this takes that plaster back off.
Yeah.
And that's when my drug use really started to intensify. Mm-hmm. I would use drugs more often than not. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then I got into Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Get to work Monday, Tuesday, onto a Wednesday. Somehow eke me way till Thursday. Boom, Friday, back onto it. And then my grandfather and everything had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
He left me his house, which gave me even more of an excuse to use drugs on my own. Because at this time, I was living with my mother and father.
Yeah.
So I had no girlfriend, no child, no responsibility. And I had nobody at home to give out to me. So I started completely and utterly just running my life into the ground. And I was using drinking drugs, tablets, marijuana, you name it, every single day nearly. And then one day I had bumped into a fella, and when we had met each other, I was telling him that cocaine was starting to give up on me and I felt like I was getting nowhere on it. And he asked me if I have ever tried crack cocaine, because I was like, this is a familiar face.
Yeah.
I need help, you know, blah, blah. And then he too was an addict. I didn't know that. And he had relapsed then, you know.
Yeah.
And then he told me, he said, have you ever tried crack cocaine? And then that day, I can remember we travelled out towards Liffey Valley. I only seen you out there a while ago.
Yeah.
And I started smoking crack in the toilets in Liffey Valley Shopping Centre.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
And you vividly remember that day, do you?
Yeah, because it was disgusting. Like, you know, it's a disgusting feeling, you know, and it's a very, very overpowering feeling. It's very, very strange. It's refreshing when you're sort of consuming it. I say refreshing loosely, you know, because it's just a specific feeling. But straight away after, I felt very, very off.
Well, yeah.
Extremely paranoid. And in the next couple of days, I had entered psychosis. This is something that I talk a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind at the time had completely snapped. And I went into an alternate reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality that I was living in was that there was a hitman coming to kill me. And he had set up me and my family. And my family was in on this master plan to sacrifice me. And it probably seems mad. And maybe I've left out a little bit of the story. But basically, I just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And when you're in psychosis, your whole brain just starts to enter this
not
reality.
Your own, really,
it's not your
like,
own.
Is it hard to distinguish what's real and what's not?
It's so hard to distinguish what's real and what's fake. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Extremely
hard. Because your brain's trying to tell you all these
thoughts. Yeah. And also, when you're paranoid, you go into a state of confirmation bias. So when you look outside of you, you look for pictures on people's faces, the way people are looking at you, signs, and everything around you to confirm the bias that you're already telling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've done.
Lowe's knows what makes Spring Fest savings even better are member-only doorbuster deals. Right now, rewards members can save $40 on an Allen & Roth Chesler Gold Faucet. Was $99, now $59. Plus, save $110 on a Kobalt 40-volt battery trimmer and blower combo kit. Was $279, now $169. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/24, while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
So much of what we want to do can seem impossible, but the highest achievers among us are the people still striving, still reaching for something. It's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender, The Defender is an icon, reimagined for a new generation of explorers and fully equipped for 21st century adventures. 3D surround cameras with ClearSight ground view let you see underneath the vehicle and anticipate obstacles and rough terrain. And ClearSight rear view offers an unobstructed rear view, even when you can't see through the back window. Driver aid technologies make driving and parking simpler, while intuitive driver displays are customizable to your journey. Plus, the next generation Pivi Pro infotainment system helps make more of your world. There's a family of vehicles for Defender too. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. Are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service then required for Apple Watch and iPad.
I would ring me ma and dad. He wouldn't answer. And I started to get woke up. And then I was looking out the windows. And then people were going on a bit weird. But I live in Fatima, man. People are always crazy up there anyways. And then they started to hype me up. And then ultimately it was just got too much. And I can remember, I ran out of the house, got a taxi over to, can't remember the name of the place, I'm brutal at it, but what's the name of it? It was basically where I could see the boats, and I was sitting in bushes because I was so paranoid. Like, that's what I used to always do as well.
How old were you at this time, like?
I was around 25, 26. Oh. Yeah, so, like, most of the time when I used to use drugs, I'd sit in bushes. If I'd go out on my own, I'd be out drinking or sitting underneath bridges and always on my own. And when I took too much and I got paranoid, I'd jump into the bush. Because in my head, I'd be like, nobody can see me, you know what I mean, in these bushes. Yeah. So when I went out there and I was convinced that my family were in on this master plan and there was this hitman coming to shoot me, that's what I started to do again, jumped into the bush. And I seen the boat going. And I went over and I got a load of drink and got a taxi to the boat. And somehow they let me on the boat.
Did they?
Yeah, they let me on the boat to Holyhead. Made me way to Holyhead.
Had you told anyone? Like, were you on to anyone? I'm going.
Yeah,
on the boat?
I was drunk and I was also I think I was using drugs. I can't really remember too much. But I was going on about it on Instagram as well, like, you know, putting up fucking stories and making a tick out of myself. Yeah. And I didn't realise that until the next day. You know what I mean? Because I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But everybody else did.
So did they all know about your addiction, like your family and friends?
Yeah, everybody.
Would you have at the time knew you were addicted, or did you still think I'm just
having a problem? I never thought I had a problem. Yeah. You know, which is crazy. Like, I never thought I had a problem. And it's not until, like, you start to really take a step back or move further on down the line that when you look back, you can realise, Jesus, I had more than a problem there.
Do you think
a couple
that,
of problems.
Like, a lot of people who are addicted think like that?
Yeah.
No, Jesus, I'm not addicted. Like,
yeah.
It's only when you step away from it or maybe look back.
Yeah, because when you're addicted, you're unaware.
Okay.
I never had awareness. Yeah. Never had awareness. And it wasn't until I went into treatment that that's when I started to create some awareness or find me awareness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went over to England, went over to Holyhead, I must have got about 3 or 4 trains. Don't know how to this day. Made my way down to London. When I got down to London, I was
all I can think of is, what's that movie? Catch Me If You Can. You're like...
That your man, running away,
I've never seen
have
that.
Yeah,
where he's the money. He's a con artist.
But he pretends to be a pilot at one stage. He's getting on a plane.
Yeah.
No.
Is it Leo DiCaprio?
I've
heard of it.
You just got onto these trains.
I just started running away, like, you know what I mean? And all I was trying to do was to... Like, in my head, the further I got away from here, the further I was getting away from my problems.
Mm-hmm.
And with psychosis, like, one minute you're in it and one minute you're not. So I was contacting my family and I was like, is all this real? I don't know what's going on. Like, I think there's someone to come in to shoot me. And I was asking my family, will you ring my cousins and ask them to ring a couple of people and see if this is real or if it's not real? And they were saying, like, Christopher, like, we've done all this. We don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we really have no idea. And then I was like, okay, they're definitely in on it. You know what I mean? If they're trying to say like that this didn't happen, 1,000,000% are in on it.
And I can imagine that would be so hard for them as well to try and convince you of what was real or try and kind of and bring you back.
Yeah, to see you be so like that, yeah, unrecognizable and different. Like,
I was just scared. Like, and then when I got over there, they had asked me if I wanted to stay in a hotel and booked me a hotel. But when I got to the hotel, I was like, I can't stay in a hotel. I'm a sitting duck here. Like, you know, if there's somebody...
They'll come for me. Like.
They're coming to kill me. So once again, I just went to a park and I started sleeping in the bushes in the park, you know. I can remember getting... Once I got like a bottle of Captain Morgan, and it was just so sad, you know, looking back. But I was willing to stay on the streets for the rest of my life, because like I was completely and utterly convinced, like I'm at the doing something really, really bad here.
Yeah.
Couldn't comprehend or understand what it was.
Mm. We had that feeling.
But I knew and when you're in psychosis, it's a damning feeling. Like, it's not like uncertainty. It's like, this is the fucking truth. Like, someone's gonna come and cut you up, like, and give you the worst death imaginable.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
That must be so scary to sit in that
and
thought,
to feel like, ambulance as if it is actually.
That's exactly it. Because you get to feel, it's you not just the thoughts, it's the feelings. Your heart is pumping out your chest. You're sweating. You're terrified. You're afraid. People are looking at you thinking, are they in on this?
Yeah.
Is everybody in on this? Why is my family over concerned? They're definitely up to something, you know? And it was just by the mercy of God that my dad and my sister had come over to try and get me.
How did they find you?
Because I told them in and around where I was. Okay. And I actually don't know, to be honest. Me and my sister were always in contact. I used to be constantly messaging her. Every time I went out around, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'd be talking to her back and forth, even when I'd... when this was like only the early hours of my addiction. And I don't know, she just managed to come over and get me. And they explained to me everything was going on. And I'll never forget this. As they were there talking to me, a police van across the road stuck on the sirens. I actually left loads out as well. Sorry, I forgot to say this. So when I was over there, I got contacted as well by a detective. And he said... This is real.
Okay.
Hello, Chris. My name is... detective wherever from the Metropolitan Police.
Oh,
so I said, okay, this is a load of bollocks. I'm not buying this. No way am I believing this. He said, have you got WhatsApp there? I said, yeah, of course. He said, you know what? I'll send you a picture of me badge through WhatsApp. He sent me a picture and I'm looking at it. I think to myself, do they just think I'm that stupid? So I was reported as a missing person.
Oh, shit.
And I didn't know that. And this was genuinely the Metropolitan Police looking after me.
So your family here reported it and it went over there?
Exactly, to look for me. God. And he was like, look, just hand yourself into the local police station. Mm-hmm. You're not in any trouble or anything. But then when I got off the phone, I was like, this is definitely... I'm at the doing something. Yeah, this is 100%. These are trying to come over to me. He's telling me to hand myself in. Am I at the killing somebody? Because like sometimes I black out when I'm drinking. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I think I'm at the killing somebody. Or I'm at the doing something. And when I had met my dad, my sister, a police van from across the road just stuck its sirens on and just start ripping up the road. I was like, oh my God. And by the mercy of God, they took the left rather than taking the right down to us and they drove off. I was absolutely terrified. But when that happened and when they left, then I realised, hold on for a second, I think I might be all right.
They're not here for me.
Do you get me?
It's like it was meant to be there and that moment for you to realise. Yeah.
And did your sister and your dad just say, like, come home? Like,
They checked me into a mental hospital over there.
Okay.
They'd done a load of tests on me and I told them that I was smoking crack and everything. And they got me into like a little cell and I was questioned and detained and stuff like that. And then my dad and my sister said, look, we need to go back home. Because my dad is, he's diabetic, so he has medication. But with the rush and everything, they obviously just jumped up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fly over, try to get him. Because the country was in lockdown as well. The country had only went into lockdown. So
this wasn't that long ago then.
No. It was
5 years ago? Like.
4 years ago.
Wow.
So it was this big, huge race to go over to England before I end up taking my own life, you know. And then somehow, I don't know how, still to this day, I end up talking my way out of the hospital. Because when they left, my dad was like, oh, we're going home. We need to get our tablets. So I was like, you have to leave me here again. Like, I'm definitely a sitting duck here, like in this hospital.
Sense of a not abandonment.
Yeah, abandonment. Also.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm out here. So I just got out there and once again went back into the bushes. But
is that like a trait of someone who's an addict, of like when they're in their addiction, that they can be so manipulative that they can just like get themselves out of things and lie and things?
Yeah.
Like, to talk yourself out of that is like,
yeah, to get out of there.
Yeah.
Like that's one of the things. Like sometimes like an addict believes his own lies or her own lies so much that that's how you end up believing them.
Mm-hmm.
That we're great at manipulating people. Great at it. And I was fantastic at it. I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. But like obviously if I'm at the getting out of a mental hospital, I was doing pretty good. But it's great to be able to look back now and laugh at it.
Yeah,
if I'm honest, you know.
Because
I never thought that I'd make it out there.
No.
I was very, very ill. And I mean that. I was very sick. And I used to always threaten people to take my own life. And I was very close to taking it when I was over there as well. Because when I was over there, I was hearing voices. And they were prominent voices. And it's, most of the time, it was like mythical creatures. It's the only way that I can explain it.
Yeah.
Like an elf or something very, very strange. Mm-hmm. And was always telling me to take my own life. Or it was frightening. Very, very frightening. But long story short, I end up listening to my family. And they came back over again. Took me home. And they got me into treatment. And that was probably the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Because
when I went into treatment, I was one of these jumpers who I always, like, so when I got out of all that, then I thought it was all funny. I was like, oh, I went into treatment, I was telling everybody, I was making a laugh over. This is something that I always done. I would always use humour to mask me pain, you know. But I genuinely went into treatment and made a laugh out of everything that, that went on.
That happened,
And then on the first Monday of every week, there's group therapy and treatment.
Okay.
And when I walked into group therapy, everybody went quiet. And the counsellor said, has anybody got anything to talk about? And everybody's hand went up and said, he's in here glorifying using drugs. And he's trying to get every single one of us back out to use drugs. And I can remember sinking into my chair.
They're proper telling on you, like.
Yeah, but that's how that works.
Is it?
I've never had anybody to address me in my life, you know what I mean? Because they wouldn't allow it. Like, if I thought that you'd ever completely, like, tell me, like, you shouldn't be doing that, I wouldn't associate myself with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I didn't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So I'd disassociate myself with those people who tell me the truth and associate myself with people who would allow me to keep telling the lies.
You want the people. You don't want the no people.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. When I was in treatment, it was...
Was that the first time you kind of felt like...
And you're surrounded by people who are, who are telling you.
And I was always somebody who would point the finger, it's their fault.
Yeah.
Or they're wrong.
Push the blame off you.
I'm right. Exactly. But when you're sitting in with a group of 10 others and a counsellor and they're all saying the exact same thing, that's when I came to the realisation, I'm actually wrong here.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's powerful, like, because I can remember I went home, like, I went back to my room in rehab and I was getting a shower, and in the shower, I got so upset. Because it all hit me at once.
Yeah.
I realised that Lucy's ma had left me. I realised I hadn't got Lucy left in me life. I realised that my granddad died. I started to deal with my nanny's death.
You deal with the actual feeling.
Everything.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah. Then I started to realise, like, everything that I've been doing, all the people that I've been hurting, I ripped my whole family apart. Yeah. Every single one of them. And I was extremely, extremely nasty to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that all hit me. And I was terrified.
Yeah.
And then I was so upset and so vulnerable that I can remember I ran downstairs and I started writing letters. And writing letters to everybody and sending letters home. And it was bizarre. But I was obviously becoming self-aware of all the destruction that I had done, you know.
How long were you in that rehab for?
So that was 28 days.
Okay.
So I went to Asheree in Wexford.
Mm-hmm.
And that's primary treatment. So the primary treatment is for 28 days. And there's a secondary treatment option for people who need it for 6 months in Waterford. It's called KMLA. It's basically a place where you go to reintegrate into society and then start to learn how to live sober, you know.
Okay.
So I went to primary first of all, and I started to understand my behaviour. I started to address my behaviour. I started to speak about all my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, what the fuck was going on with me. Mm-hmm. I spoke about my whole life story from the day I can remember, my first days on this earth that I can remember, mm-hmm. right up to very now. I started to grieve my grandmother's death, grieve my grandfather's death. I started to, oh, you name it, I went through it. Yeah. And that's when I started to feel most raw, most vulnerable, most open. But then in the right scenario with the right people, I felt the most loved. And yeah. then that's when I really started to realise, hold on for a second.
You were just you.
Like, exactly, yeah.
Would that have been the first time in those 28 days of the primary, would that have been the first time in years that you've been without a drink or a drug? Like,
yeah.
It would, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So like obviously I was detoxing from a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. And yeah. also I was put on, so when I got sent back to, from England to Ireland, I was put on medication for the psychosis, which was called olanzapine.
Mm-hmm.
And that took away my soul, that medication. This is my own personal opinion on it because it's my own experience. But I felt like that took away my soul. And when I went down to treatment, I'd spoke about it to the doctors and they took me off that as well. Because
oh.
my whole understanding was, if I'm going into treatment, I'm off every drug.
Every drug.
And that's the way I want to live my life.
Yeah.
So I was withdrawing from that. I was withdrawing from all the drugs and all the drink. And then I was withdrawing from all the emotion that I had built up for all the years.
You've been masking for so long.
So all I wanted to do then was to be the father to my daughter mm-hmm. that she deserved. I can remember my sister wrote in a letter and I was very, very upset down treatment. I was very raw and I was just all over the place. I was a very emotional person. And my sister wrote in a letter and in the letter she said, Christopher, if you can't do it for you, do it for Lucy. Because one day she's going to need you to walk her down the aisle.
Oh, I'll start crying. I can't.
No. But when she wrote that in, I could see that vision. You know what I mean?
In your head, yeah.
And that really, really hurt me and it really upset me. And I don't know, like that was the biggest turning point
mm-hmm.
that I started to realise, like, this is much bigger than me.
Than just you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Wow. And you went to Lapland with her recently.
Oh, she's...
How special is that to do things like that now? Like, look and reflect on your life just a few years ago. Like,
yeah,
amazing.
Like, that young woman is... Do you know what? She's our own person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the best things I could ever hope for.
Yeah.
Because I was always trying to be somebody else.
Mm.
That young woman is nuts.
Is she?
She tells me when she wants to come with me and she tells me when
I saw actually recently you were talking about like that she's kind of at that age now that she might say to you, no, Dad, I don't want to come over to you or whatever. Do you feel like sometimes that does it nearly bring you back to a sense of like someone doesn't want me kind of thing? Or
like
how do you deal with that now? Because she's at that age that she can do that.
That's something that I did struggle with until these are all ways of us to learn. Mm-hmm. As human beings, and we all have flaws and we all have strengths. My flaws is when a girl or my daughter tells me that they don't want to be with me, I feel unloved.
Yeah.
But when Lucy told me, I don't want to be with you, only recently, I was like, that's actually all right, you know? She's able to say what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And I can't fault her for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, it did hurt on Christmas Day when I'm at the...
Oh,
you know what I mean?
No.
But that, it is what it is, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's one of the best things. Even the other day, she said to me, I don't want to go around to your house. I was like,
And you just have to be like, okay.
Yeah, it is what it is. Because I went up last night to her and then she was delighted to see me.
Yeah.
And then like, you're like, hold on a second, you didn't want to know me last week. But kids are kids.
But they're their own little,
And the crazy thing is, as adults, we forget that.
Because
when they're our kids, we want them to behave the way we want them to behave.
Yeah.
But she's her own kid, like, and she's brilliant. And when we went to Lapland, that young one was absolutely delighted. She was over the moon. And I swear to God, like no word of a lie, I love her to bits.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I get a little bit emotional because it's just one of them things, you know what I mean? Everything I do for her.
Yeah.
I also do it for me, but ultimately, like, she's the rock that keeps me going.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're over in Lapland, like, she just loved it, you know?
It's so magical there, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. Seeing that you were there as well.
I couldn't have crying just being there.
That's exactly what it's like. I think that's one of the best trips that I've ever been on.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I was crying after meeting Santa. While meeting Santa.
I was just looking at you going, how old are you?
No, honestly, there was something about it. I was like, he's going to give me a present this year.
When we were over there, Lucy turned around to me and she says, will I give my suit up to Santa this year? And she handed our seal up to Santa.
Did she?
She hasn't took it since.
Has she not?
She hasn't took
That's
it
a
since.
That's a good one. I gave mine to the periwinkle lady.
No, who's the periwinkle lady?
Periwinkle lady down in Kilkee.
The winkles? Like,
yeah, yeah,
she
yeah.
sell the periwinkle?
The periwinkles on the side of the road. My mum made me give it to her. I'd say the woman was like,
did she give you a few periwinkles?
I'd say the woman was like, what am I going to do with this? What do you, I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, it's not like a done thing.
Was it my bottle or my... Jody, I can't remember what it was something anyway. I just remember giving it to the periwinkle lady. So I didn't give it to Santa, but I gave it to the periwinkle lady.
I sucked my thumb. I never had a soother. I had a soother when I was very young, but then it was my thumb. And then my dad told me that if I kept doing that, that my tooth would be sticking out like that. And I was like, I said no, thanks.
Oh, but she gave it to Santa. She hasn't took it since.
No.
Bless her.
She's great now, though. You know, she had a great Christmas and everything. Like, and yeah, she's doing good.
Isn't it so amazing, though, that like now you can appreciate all those things, whereas probably years ago you probably didn't even see that being in your
being
future.
A thing.
Like,
yeah.
And like even like now, like I'm just sometimes I can get very wrapped up because like I'm somebody who likes to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And ultimately, whether I like it or not, I'll always be an addict for the rest of my life. I'll always have the mind of an addict, and it's on me to be able to keep that at bay. And I always love to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And everything that I do now, I always want to keep getting better, keep getting better, keep growing, keep creating a better life for me and my daughter.
Yeah.
And sometimes I can forget that it's not about where you're going, it's about what you have right now.
Yeah.
And it's good to pull yourself
be
back.
Sitting in the moment.
Yeah. And I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to, you know.
100%.
When you're always trying to move forward. I said, some fella met me last night. We sat down, we had a lovely cup of tea, and his name is actually Frank Greeley. I'll give him a shout out on this. He's the head of Athletics Ireland.
Okay.
Lovely, lovely man. And we had a cup of tea and we sat down together and he says, what would you love to be? I said, well, Frank, I'd love to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
And he told
me, all.
He started laughing. He says, always remember that if you started to go down the line and you had all those money as a millionaire, you'd never have the time that you have today.
Wow.
He said, make sure that you make time for you. Make sure you make time for your daughter.
Yeah.
And make sure you make time for your friends.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to get this time back. It doesn't matter how much money you have.
Yeah.
You'll never get back time.
Yeah.
What was that time quote you said earlier?
Time is the best currency.
Yeah.
Like I seen a film. Have you seen that film? It's out in cinema now. It's called We Live in Time, I think. But like, it's really, really fucking sad. But it just makes you feel like you need to live in the moment.
The moment.
You don't know what tomorrow,
today
or tomorrow, or like things can happen like that. And like you really have to just soak it all in.
Mm.
And like not chase for the next thing. Even I'm like that sometimes as well with stuff like.
All right, sure, I say to you all the time. Say no, sure. Yeah. Say no.
I know.
Relax
this year.
I couldn't be more relaxed if I'm horizontal. Too horizontal for my own good. Honestly.
Horizontal.
I swear.
And then, so getting into running, how did that all come about?
So when
teach me, will you?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get you for
it.
You know, we should actually put her on the spot right now and say, when are we going for a run?
Yeah. You have to give him a month.
When I get my hookahs, is that what they're called?
Hocus.
Hocus. Yes, yeah, I don't know the fucking shoe. Do you know what I mean? I'm going nowhere, guys.
So I started getting into running in secondary treatment. Secondary treatment, you let you out of the premises if you go to the gym or go running. And I start running from the secondary treatment. But now, like, so when I started to get sober, that's how I started to make the videos. I wanted everybody to know that I was sober. I wanted everybody to know that I was a good person again. And
you've been posting all the other stuff before.
And if they see me on the street, I didn't want them to be running away from me. Do you know what I mean? I was like trying to tell everybody that I was all right.
Yeah.
And I started to run after treatment. But when I got out of treatment and everything, I started to realise, like, I think it was about two years sober I was. And I said to myself, like, I've managed to stay 2 years sober by doing this one day at a time. If I took the running one day at a time, I could definitely run 5K every day.
Yeah.
And since then, I've managed to run. On the 13th of February next month, I'll have ran 700 days consecutively, 5K every day.
Wow.
Piss off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
How long does 5K take you?
So
what's
around
your PB?
So about 25 to 30 minutes, because now I don't run for time.
Okay,
I can't connect with people who run for time because if
trying
I
to
run
get faster and faster,
it's not about that. It's about doing it. You know, do what you can with the time that you have.
Yeah,
and you'll always be happy.
Yeah,
you know.
And do you look forward to your run every day, or like, is there some days where you're like,
surely you have dreading days?
Some days where you're like,
yes.
I'm sitting on the couch.
Some days I get a pain in my body. Some days I wish I was a field reviewer.
Sometimes I wish that. I'm like, that'd be fucking great.
Yeah.
Because like food you have to eat every day anyway. So it's like part of your day. You're not going out your way to what?
I'd take it to a whole new level.
But no, some days I dread it, and that's all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody can relate to that. But I just do it anyway because, like, I always used to know before Anton happened that sticking to it would help me in some way, shape, or form. I used to run down the canal and I can remember thinking to myself, like, I know my life will get better. I don't know how, but if I stick with this, it will just grow and it'll get better.
Wow.
And about 3 or 4 months after I was thinking that, one day I was having a really down day and I was very close to giving her up. And I only had made these videos about 3 or 4 months and Terrence Power had rang me to go on to the Talking Bollocks podcast.
Yeah.
So every day since then, I just know, you know, keep your head down, keep working hard. On the days that you don't want to do it, just get your shit together.
Yeah. I think there are the days as well that you build like confidence in yourself, because if you do something when you don't want to do it and you do it, you feel great. You're like,
you feel
like
better after.
Yeah,
you're
like, I've done that for myself. Like, you just feel like a new little
person.
On the days you don't want to do it, like, especially.
Are you a morning runner or an evening runner? Is there a better time to do it? I'm just only asking you for all the tips.
Everyone's probably after starting running.
I want you to crack the code for me to do it.
I only run whenever I have the time. So like,
So say for example,
tomorrow, if I have like, nowadays, thankfully I have meetings or have like stuff like this and I'll be able to judge around it. I can fit in me run there and I can get a shower there. Do you get me?
Yeah.
Whereas like, if you were to ask me, what do I prefer? I'd probably prefer a morning run.
Yeah, I would too.
I love or else running up the canal and you see the sun only starting to rise and you can hear the boards and everything.
Yeah.
I used to shudder at the thought of that.
Oh.
You know what I mean? But now I'm like...
Hearing the birds. That's when you know. Right. Close the curtain. Oh, God.
I'm all for it now.
I've seen people like beef on you now.
I'd catch you on the canal one day.
Yeah, of course.
I thought I'd seen you once, but I don't know if it was you. Dan, I reckon it was. And I was like, that could be some random person.
Sure, they stop you everywhere, don't they?
Yeah, it's amazing.
32 counties.
Done the 32 counties. Wow. I was only running last week with Ashley Ken. As we were running through town, people were beeping and shouting at me.
Yeah, never mind, Ashley.
I was like, Ashley Ken. And I was like, it was nuts. I love that, you know what I mean? Because I'm a people person and I genuinely love people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do what I do for all the social media.
You can tell like where you are 100%. Now on social media and stuff like genuinely comes from such a genuine place, and it's not coming from somebody who said, "Oh, I'll make a quick book off this." Yeah. Or like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's your story. It's where you began,
and ultimately, like, it's almost trendy for people to do it this day and age now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where like I just like when I started like sticking that camera in front of my face, I got a lot of hate.
Did you?
A lot of hate
from people you know,
from people I know. And people really like put me down and. Like, then, before you know it, then 2 years later, then they're doing it.
You
know what
it's
I mean?
It's always the way. It's the ones that want to do it that are human. Yeah.
But, like, thankfully now, like, everything has gone good.
Yeah.
And I think as well, it's the fact that it's, like, so consistent. People love watching that as well.
Yeah.
People love something that they can guarantee to be going and you're doing every day. And, you're such a genuine person as well.
I'll never stop. That's one thing. Like I can remember, like, I was only talking to somebody the other day and they were like, do you think you'll be able to do something? They were talking about something else.
Mm.
And I said, you know what? I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. If I ever done it, I'd never give up. And that's one thing that's in me. I'll never, ever give up.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how bad I'm feeling or what happens to me. Even if I had a broken leg tomorrow, you can guarantee you'd see me in a wheelchair doing that 5K.
Yeah,
promise you. And that's just being honest.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And people say to me all the time, when will you stop running 5K? And the real reason when I stop is when God intends for me to stop.
Yeah.
I'll know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But ultimately, like once I'm healthy and once I can manage to walk or limp, I'll do it.
Your health is your wealth.
Yeah.
And do you get any or many like addicts reaching out to you?
Yeah.
Saying, look, I'm in the pits of it now, like things like that. Do you spend much time having to speak about that to them and go through it? Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's one thing that I always told myself that I need to be very, very careful of.
Yeah, I was gonna say that can go down a kind of
I do my best to give back to the community, and I do my best to help each and every person that I possibly can.
Yeah.
And that's why I make those videos.
Yeah.
Because I'm vulnerable, I'm open, I'm honest, and I'm speaking about whatever the fuck I'm really struggling with, and hope that other people can resonate and relate to what I'm doing. Exactly. Yeah. Do you get me?
Yeah. But you have that boundary of it
exactly,
still.
Because if somebody texts me personally
yeah.
and I give them any advice and they go off and take it whatever way, then I'm liable. Then I'm liable. So I'll be able to, if I'm honest with you, I do text a couple of people back.
Yeah.
And if it ever gets too much, then I'll stop it. You know, but also like I'm an addict as well. I still suffer as well. I still have bad days.
Of course.
So some days like I'll just have a day where I don't talk to anybody. I don't even talk to my friends or don't even talk to my family because I need some time alone. Mm-hmm. You know?
You can only do so much as well. Like I'm sure you can, there's resources and stuff that you can places from your own experience that you can recommend, but like it shouldn't be up to you to kind of
and that's one thing I was always looking for somebody to save me and that's when I realized I need to save myself and that's why I always want people to know like I can sit here all day and pretend I'm the messiah, but I'm not. I don't have the answers. I'm no fucking different to anybody else. Mm-hmm. When I'm taking a shit, I sit down the exact same that you sit down. You get what I mean?
Love that.
But that's the reality
of it.
Yeah,
true,
I'm no fucking different to anybody else. And I just want people... Am I allowed to coast on this?
Of course,
yeah. Sorry. It's a bit too late.
We're an hour
sorry. But like, that's why I just want people to know that if you want to grow, or you want to get better, or your girlfriend or boyfriend has left you, well then get out running. Get out moving, go to the gym, do something productive to counteract all that unproductivity.
Yeah, because you just feel so much better in yourself. Like,
I need to start running, guys.
I know, I need to get back to it. I stopped.
I don't have the stamina, do you know?
I don't know if I was able to do 5K and then I was like, oh, no. I don't really want to do
it. You're actually well able for our episode of
5K. Yeah, but then I got that milestone. I was like, I don't really want to get the next milestone.
Of course, yeah.
And then I got bored,
I think I hold my breath when I run.
Yeah, I definitely don't breathe right either. How are you meant to breathe?
Like pan in through your nose, out through your mouth, doesn't it?
Like I just don't really think that much into it. Like,
I
didn't, and then someone told me, and I was like, wait, and I started overthinking, and then I couldn't breathe all of a sudden. I was like,
I get off the shin splints.
That you'd be all right.
She
is just
thinking of every excuse.
She is adding to the excuse.
She has the hocus. Are they ordered? Are they on the way?
No. Graham said I have to go and get like my feet measured and all this.
Oh, do you?
I don't need that. Do anything like that.
No, I think go home tonight and order them.
That's what I said. I was like, I'll just order my own size. I'll bring you out here and you have to get your feet all like.
Does he do? Oh, they check your
gait. Yeah, they check. Yeah. But that's an experience. Maybe he just wants to do that with you. You know what I mean? That's like a nice little
Date.
Yeah.
He wants to see me at work.
Yeah.
I mean, in Phoenix Park the other day and I think I jogged for about 30 seconds. He was like, that's so sexy. I was like, whatever you're into. Is that running?
There's nothing sexy about me running.
I'm like Phoebe of friends.
I'm tragic. I love to just get like a zoom out of me, like close up and then just a zoom out. I'm like,
just to see it.
Tragic. No. So bad. I seen you were working with Penny's as well, with Primark.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Yeah. And Lululemon as well. You're in a
I was working with Lululemon, Primark, Monterex. Yeah, slowly. Amazing. Surely, yeah. Like, I used to do this. Years, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know I was actually having this conversation with you when we were running.
Yeah.
I don't know like anything else other than the life that I've lived already. So all of this is very, very new to me.
Oh, new.
Yeah. So I'm still learning and I'm still growing and to be honest with you, I'm just enjoying it all.
Yeah.
Right. I'm well aware like that at any given moment somebody will pull the rug from underneath your feet, you know what I mean? Mm. It's what happens to everybody. So try to enjoy what you have now because tomorrow is never promised. You know?
So true.
Yeah. I love like your comments and all. They're always such a nice supportive place. Even like on mine that time, like anyone that comes on, like everyone's just really nice. And even in your own, when you've your own videos, the comments are just lovely, like
that's one thing that I can't believe. Like everybody is so supportive.
So nice.
And like when I was coming up here, like a lady stopped me in the street and gave me a hug. Like and you know what the mad thing is? Like if you're ever having a down day, imagine somebody just coming up to you and giving you a hug like that.
Yeah.
That's gonna make your day. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's why I love people, you know.
Yeah.
I love meeting people and I love connecting with people. And the internet, thankfully, please God, for me at the moment is a very, very good place because I have a lot of good support on it and I'm very, very grateful, you know.
Yeah. What are you going to do for your 700th day?
So I do a run with everybody. So on the day,
You did a Park A Street last year, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that was illegal.
Is it everyone?
Oh, was it?
Oh, was it?
Shit.
Wait, why was that?
Strike that.
Was it really?
So I didn't know they had to ask for permission and thousands of people had.
Though.
Yeah, but anything over a certain amount... You have
really?
To apply, yeah.
And well, we how had do you know who's
famous person?
Like, no, no, no. But so many people came that we like they shut the whole
road?
Yeah, love they that. Shut down the whole
wow.
park. Yeah, yeah,
brilliant.
And then day 500, we done the same again. And then I was talking to Phoenix Park, and they're like, okay, not good.
But yeah.
And then day 600, they denied us access to it.
Did they?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all right. Like it's a good problem to have.
Yeah,
you know
Jesus,
I mean?
Good complaint.
Day 600, we had it in Irish Town Stadium in Ringsend.
Oh yeah.
And we ran the track, and we had Beltazoni playing.
Deadly.
So,
oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Beltazoni was playing for yeah, so that was
wow.
good.
Wow.
Day 700. Yeah. Day 700 is a little bit of a surprise, but I'm trying to put on, like, I want music to be there
mm-hmm.
and I want people to come with their families.
Because
everything that I do is a free event mm-hmm. because people don't have this the money these days.
Yeah.
And I try my best to use businesses then to affiliate themselves along with it.
Yeah,
so they pay for it. The people who haven't got the money come and enjoy it. And then,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Amazing.
But I'm in the midst of trying to do something where families come and they connect and the
yeah.
kids, you know, and I want to be able to get the scooters there and anybody who's in the buggies and all there and
yeah.
put on a really good event on, yeah. So
if there's anything we can help with,
yeah.
let us know.
Honestly. That.
Have you ever like stood at one of them events and been like
what?
Took it in for a second
yeah.
and been like, what? Like
yeah,
I never shed a tear. I feel like if I was you, I'd just be crying all the time.
Like that
just
is phenomenal.
To be where you are now and from where you've been, like
yeah.
such
mentally,
achievement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like I'm very grateful,
yeah.
you know. And sometimes I feel like a broken record because, like, see, when I come on here and I speak about my story, I have a pain in my bollocks talking about it. Do you get
you
no? And that's not
bored of telling.
Yeah, but like it's like, oh, poor me, and I'm not speaking in the sense of poor me. I'm
You're
just trying to tell my story.
Yeah, yeah.
But like
yeah.
sometimes you get pain in your bollocks with it, and then I'm like, people surely have a pain in
like,
the bollocks.
Yes,
and yeah, and people like we have a pain in the bollocks listening to
yeah,
it.
No,
but
not
like enough. then when I'm able to look back and like this is just bizarre. The fact that I'm sitting here with mm-hmm. the two of you a couple of years ago, I used to look at is on the internet is bizarre. Do you know what I mean? The fact that like Beltazoni played at one of my events then the last
crazy.
Time, that's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I am very, very grateful, but like...
But you deserve it. You've done that all yourself. Like.
Yeah, but I just, yeah.
Amazing.
You've only yourself to thank for it.
Yeah, you're nice. Credit to yourself.
You should be
and
so
Ellie's going to get her runners.
Guys.
Yeah.
Laced up.
I don't know now.
They will do a double at one point too.
Oh, you know, it'd be a oh, good one if we done the two of yous. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be so.
Two of yous be gone. I'd be on the path having a week. Catch us on the flip.
Yeah.
Hammer flipped. Yeah. Oh, I'll chance it. You know, we'll see. You get me out one day.
Yeah.
You will.
Yeah. So, Chris, thank you so much
no,
for coming
thank
on.
You, girls. Thank
you.
Thanks
anything
so
else you want to add or plug?
No, I just want to say thanks very much for your time. And if
so
everybody wants to see Ellie on the okay, with Chris.
Yeah.
Get back to us.
Oh yeah. Oh, will you do me a favor? You have to look into that camera, Chris, and Cher, we have to look into this camera. This will be my practice round and we say get back to us at the same time, okay?
Right.
Wait, what?
We look in here and we say,
did I say get back to us in mine?
No.
Well, you can do it then.
We did.
Okay. We have to do it at the same time. So you do it in that one.
Okay.
Ready?
3, 2, 1.
Get back to us.
Was I meant to say too?
Yeah,
oh shit, sorry. I thought it was going again.
No.
Okay, I thought it was just the countdown. Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Get back to us.
Not where I looked there, but we'll do something. Chris, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.